Hello and welcome to Serene Reflections, a podcast of Dharma Talks from the Wallawa Buddhist Temple. I am Reverend Clarissa Beatty, a Zen monk and Buddhist priest from the mountains of Northeast Oregon, where we practice contemplative meditation, the Chan of Bodhidharma, the Zen of Dogen, the Serene Reflection Meditation of Reverend Master G.U. Kennett. You are invited to let yourself grow naturally still, to let go of the world for a while. Join us in listening in sound, in listening in stillness, turning within to listen from the heart that seeks the way. Dawning. Slowly the darkness grows gentler, thinning. Not a blinding flash, just a subtle lightening. But consider how immersed in daylight I am once it is full morning, and how steeped I was back before this morning's dawn, in the dark of the night. Just so each season dawns gradually. The spring snows come only to melt away again when the sun comes out to warm them, coming up ever earlier with every passing day. Out of all the six worlds of existence, you and I have been born here into this human realm with its changing life forms and its seasons, with its sun and its moon, its earth and its waters, and this beating heart in the midst of all that surrounds it. One collective trait that we humans share across the planet is a talent for adapting. My personal adaptivity, our collective adaptations, the adaptedness of our entire species. In the human realm, with everything else that comes with being human, comes the ability to change our behavior in response to changing conditions around us, and to persevere even when conditions around us are adverse. Across centuries, millennia of human studies of inquiry into the nature of life itself, across the disciplines of biology, psychology, theology, philosophy, the observation is shared that those beings, whether groups or individuals, who can modify their behavior in response to changes in their habitat, are the ones who survive and thrive. And to some thinkers, perhaps this ability of life to adapt, to change, reflects something greater than all of us, at work even in the smallest and simplest of life forms, something which binds all life together and points toward our collective purpose for existence. Let's pause here in the course of our lives to have a look together at what it means spiritually to use our ability to adapt. Reflect for a moment. What does flexibility mean to you? As humans, as in many other species, when we're young, we're actually built for flexibility, for learning, growing, developing. In the young, especially in early childhood, there is a natural openness to the mind which allows for the absorption of the unexpected, of change. As we go on, the road may be rocky. Still, through all the twists and turns, we make our way as we change from within, as we familiarize ourselves with the world and all that life throws at us. Once we have fully grown up, and then grown old, though we may seem to become set in our ways, the wiring is still there for us to be able to adapt to changing conditions. Changing my ways may not come as easy as it did when I was little, but I have done it before. I can do it again. And now I have the wisdom of my years, so I can do it wisely. Inherent in life is the reality of change. All things change. Nothing can stay the same forever. Even the stones of this third rock from the sun are always in flux, just slowly, almost indiscernibly, at least by our human measure of time. What does it mean to be able to adapt? If you look back over this unusual past year, surely you will see any number of examples of your own adaptive behavior as an organism in response to changing conditions around and within yourself. Consider for a moment how you yourself have responded to an evolving situation as it unfolded. In Buddhism, we speak of cultivating a soft and flexible mind. For me, over the years, this has come to mean also nurturing a soft and flexible heart. How do I do this? Some of you may recall last week's talk on success. With that in mind, what if I recite the old saying, "If at first you don't succeed, try, try again"? Remembering that success may not be what you expect it to be, and it does not mean ignoring the sometimes great difficulties in what we encounter, the pain, the frustration, the grief. In Zen Buddhist teachings, especially from Dogen, you often come across the imagery of bamboo. Imagine for a moment a grove of bamboo. Maybe you have some bamboo growing where you live. Maybe you've seen it in a movie, swaying gracefully in the breeze, growing straight and true, a giant grass. Its flexibility is its greatest strength. Just by being as it is, this evergreen grass, which has adapted over thousands of years, offers the teaching of both strength and flexibility simultaneously. Whatever pushes or leans against it, bamboo sways and bows a very long way, while at the same time staying deeply rooted. And once it's planted, as you know if you have ever tried to remove it, Its roots can very tenaciously spread. Strength and flexibility. Resilience. The willingness to open the heart to new ways of seeing, to the possibility of different ways of doing things, to at once stay grounded and grow. In humans, rigidity comes from fear, which only solidifies when I close my heart. When I have inflexibility, when I refuse to bend, it is a red flag that somewhere in me I am worried or frightened. The unknown, the unexpected, the out of the ordinary can be frightening. And this is also human. I can have compassion for my worried self and for others I may notice whose mind and heart may be contracting. But think back to when anything new was an adventure. Do you remember the open and flexible mind of your own self as a wee child? The curiosity, the delight, the wonder, the willingness to play at anything unusual, anything new. What fun! And upon growing cranky or scared or fussed, the sudden cloud shadow evaporates instantly at the slightest change of events, or with benevolent redirection, and out comes the sun again. In opening the heart, it can be like a balm. Oh, how it can help to set free the childlike mind that still wriggles and giggles and jumps up eagerly within, and then rests so deeply and completely in total trust when at last it goes down for a nap. Now, in my years of maturity, how may I nurture and maintain that ability, that natural ability, that soft and flexible heart? In bamboo shoots, the tenderness is so remarkable that humans even eat it as a delicacy. With established bamboo, we are impressed by its toughness. Yet the younger canes are surprisingly sturdy in adversity, while the oldest ones remain amazingly limber when put to the test. Firmly rooted, like the bamboo, in my sitting place, when disappointment arises, dismay, upset, even despair, how might I respond to what is arising? How may I be supple enough to respond as needed, asking, what might be helpful now? What might be wise with things as they are? Wisdom is not only realized suddenly in a single flashing instant of enlightenment. In a life of ongoing practice, remember the hundreds, thousands, millions, countless fleeting moments throughout the days, throughout the nights, when it dawns on us. What dawns? What is it that dawns? The advent of dawn is an entirely gradual, ongoing process. A blurry, grayish distinction forever advancing across the face of the globe. Does the increasing light here at sun's rise change anything? Is everything under the aurora transformed by its nearly imperceptible appearance from over the eastern horizon? Only slightly. And only absolutely. The enlightening of day gleam has an effect, many effects, of growing warmth, of energy and illumination, the signal that all is as it should be. What a profound effect it has, the rising of the sun. And it happens every day. A few years ago, there was a near total eclipse of the sun, and the shadow of the moon came and went across the temple grounds. On a bright summer morning, the sky grew eerily muted. The birds stopped singing and roosted in the trees. Cattle across the valley ceased lowing. Farm equipment got shut off, and traffic even halted down on the airport road as folks pulled over to look up through little pinhole viewers and special shades. Humans across our region all stopped to reflect at once, one way or another, on the vital importance of the sun. Once the sunlight had dimmed all across the expanse of the heavens, the air took a chill and grew still. And then, as the moon's shadow pulled away gradually from the face of the sun, it was like a dial slowly turned up the volume and the heat once again as life resumed. And one thing I recall about that moment of darkest eclipse was that in the creek just downhill from the temple, the water never stopped its gentle flowing. In fact, for a stretch, the flow of water was about the only sound, apart from my own heartbeat and breath, the only movement in the silent, suspended world here below during that great planetary phenomenon. When events transpire, which are megalithic in scale to our little life, we all can listen for what does not cease to flow in our hearts and in all the world around us. And we can flow with it. Listen. What is flowing? Something which can help us to perceive this flow is bowing. Bowing flows naturally from the soft and flexible heart, bowing in any direction, bringing the hands together at the heart. The opposites are one, and inclining the head and leaning towards the other, towards the Buddha, towards all that is. The obstacles dissolve, and I am literally going beyond the extremes of left or right, this or that. Flexibility, resilience. Like the bamboo, my flexibility is strength. This weekend happens to be what we call a full moon. Does that fullness mean that when we can't see the moon is empty? No, of course not. It's just in our shadow. The moon, even when we can't see a sliver lit up by the sun's reflection in the night sky, the moon itself is right there. It's right there. Or it's coming around soon. Or rather, we're coming around. Or both of us are coming around each other. All things are connected in this way, as we all orbit each other, one way or another, in our comings and our goings. So, within the great eternal, how could a little thing like distance or proximity or electronic telecommunications or life or death connect or separate any of us? In those times of shadow, when I cannot perceive that which flows endlessly through sound, I must listen more deeply than with the ears. Look more closely than with the eyes. Lo, here. Always something flows on, even soundlessly, and it may surprise me just where it may be found. Now here, now there, always flowing on through the night and the dawn, flowing on through every ordinary day. All that arises passes away, and what endures? Even the sun one day will not come up. Meanwhile, it does. And what a gift it offers us. What an opportunity. I wonder what might this day's sunrise make possible. Thank you for joining us in listening to Serene Reflections from the Heart That Seeks the Way. To learn more about this practice, including more about how to meditate, you are invited to visit our website at walawabuddhisttemple.org. Here, in the Kanzan Shrine of our meditation hall, we offer the merit of our practice of serene reflection meditation to all beings, including you, wherever you may be.